Have a seat. Have a seat. Zeta. Have a seat. Have a seat. Sit down. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you. Thank you for the cheering, but I know you don't mean it. So I know you don't mean it. All right. It is always, shut up. Shut up, man. All right. It is always a privilege to come to chapel here. I get to be here about once a semester, maybe once a year, maybe every 3 years, I don't know. Maybe whenever a Democrat wins, I don't know. Let me come here. But I love coming to chapel now. I love that enthusiasm and that excitement. I'm just one of those people, when I got saved, I got saved. And so I've never understood why saved people do not have a shout about them. I never understood that. I never understood why we cheer and we lose ourselves at games and why we can't be at a chapel and can't get a little excited. And so I'm a little excited. Now, whenever I come to preach here, I bring the circus. I bring the whole thing. I bring the clowns and the jugglers and whoever said you, your mama, all right? And, that's why we don't record. But I heard somebody say you. But we do. So I got the kids up there, and they did such a great job. By the way, that ought to motivate you to be like, man, I want a kid like that. I want to invest in somebody like that. I want to have somebody like that. And it is. It's, now, sometimes they do get on your nerves. But like your parents, right? Your parents love you, but there's probably days they'd want to kill you. So it is. It's a great privilege to work with those young people and so on. Now, I'm known for, when I come here, setting people up. And that is the thing I've tried to do. But I failed the last 2 years. I think I tried Javon, and that was a big bust. And then I tried Kevin Bales. I tried him, and that was even worse. So I've chosen somebody today, okay? I love this guy with all my heart. I need some help, all right? So he's a servant. He's there all the time. He's Mr. Steady, Mr. Consistent. And I need to help him find a date. And I'm going to pay for the date. Now, I don't know if my wife and I can chaperone a date, but if we can, I'll take you on a date. So I need, Brother Daniel Ralston, could you come down here real quick? Could you come down here? Hurry, Daniel, hurry. Now, I don't know if he has, and by the way, stop blowing up my phone. Come on down. You're the next contestant on Lonely for Life. No. All right, Brother Daniel, do you have somebody in mind? Can we get this? Can we get your sidekick up there? Do you have anybody in mind?
No.
You don't have anybody in mind? No. Okay. Can we take some recommendations? Recommendations? Anybody?
Judith
Vallejo. Who?
Judith Vallejo.
Okay. Nobody? Okay. He gave me one. All right. Do you have a recommendation? Okay. He said, I'm on a mic. He said, Judith. That okay? All right. You want to try that one? Or you want to try somebody else? No, no, try somebody else.
Try someone else?
Yeah.
Crowd suggestion?
Crowd suggestions? Joshy Washy is saying somebody.
Who, Josh?
Joshy who? Okay, here, hang on. Here are my phone suggestions. I got to hurry and preach. Let me see. It says... Bring us God. Okay, try that.
All right.
Try that.
Miss Sabrina Scott.
Where you at? Where you at, Sabrina? Come on. She here? Sabrina, where you at, Sabrina? Stand up, stand up. Where are you at? Okay. Sabrina, yes or no? Hang on. You don't need to pray about it, please. Yes or no? No. All right. One more? One more. All right. Here we go. No, I'm going on my phone. Stinking suggestions. Hang on. How about that one? No? How about that one? Stop blowing my phone up. All right? How about that one?
There's like three in a row.
I like that one.
There's like three in a row right there.
Which one do you want?
Let's try that one.
No, I don't want. No. I mean, I like them for him. Which one do you want?
There's like three in a row.
That one. Take that one.
All right.
All right, that one. There you go. Okay. Stop blowing my phone up. All right, go.
All right. Miss Judith Balachian.
Judith. Where are you at, Judith? Judith, staff member. Yes! Oh! Oh! Yes! All right. Say, wait, Daniel, let's start this now. Ms. Judith, go up in the PA booth with him. Go. All right. Let's get serious now, okay? Thank you, Ms. Judith. I will, Brother Daniel, work something out. And if you guys want to go off campus, I'll take you off campus, and we'll take you, and amen. Hey, I've got my wife with me here today, and I also have my mother-in-law. She stood earlier, but my mother-in-law's name is Betzaida, and then my wife's name is Zaida, Z-A-I-D-A, not the hurricane that just went through the Gulf. Z-A-I-D-A, but my wife, of course, she has a love for the Word of God, and that might be something that we could learn from, so she's taken and she's put music to Scripture. Now, I got to be careful. She doesn't write Scripture, okay? We're not Mormons yet, all right? But she does put music to Scripture, and we're in the middle of recording our another CD. We've done three before, but it's been about 10 years since we did one. But our young people up there and my wife and a couple of college students are recording a brand new scripture song CD. And we hope to have it out by March. They already started recording. They recorded three songs. It's bilingual, 10 in English, 10 in Spanish, the same song, but English and Spanish. And so it's a little process to get it done. But I asked my wife to come and play, and she, I know she hates it. She's like, no. I'm not a soloist, but she did put the music to Psalms 139, 17, 18, 23, and 24. And there's another song she's put music to, Psalm 56. And I'm going to have her sing those. If you know them, I want you to sing with her, okay? You'll know Psalms 119, but I don't think you'll know Psalm 56 as well.
You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4.
When I'm afraid, I will try.
they sing with me?
No.
How precious also are thy thoughts into me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Search me,
job. Amen. Take your Bibles. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Let's pray, please. Father God, I pray you'll meet with us. Thank you, dear Lord, for what we've seen this morning. Testimonies of grace, trophies of grace that got up to sing because of the influence of young people in this room. Oh God, I pray that you take these next few minutes and I pray you use them to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of God meet with us in these short minutes, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want you to go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 34. The Bible's talking about Philip and the eunuch. I talk fast, and so you're going to have to listen. I want to talk to you this morning on the sin of silence. The sin of silence. Now you say, well, yeah, our teachers make us sin all the time. They tell us to be quiet. They tell us to be quiet in chapel. I'm not talking about that. But look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or some other man. In verse 35, he says, then Philip opened his mouth. Opened his mouth. The gospel cannot get through lips that are shut. He said, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You can go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Very familiar verses that say, That is the go, it's the gospel. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are in a college that is known for one thing. We're not known for having nice buildings. We're not known for having a beach. We're not known for having a lot of extracurricular activities. We're not known for being in a Division I or Division II basketball league. We're not known for that. We're known for one thing. If there's something that Hiles Anderson is known for, it is known for ministry. Ministry. Hey, and young people, this morning may I remind you, it is ministry and not misery. If you are miserable, if the weekends are something you dread and hey, it's not a problem with the ministry. It's a problem inside of you. Amen. We're known for ministry. And yet sometimes like businesses and sometimes like people and sometimes like sports, we get in the rut of doing the same thing over and over and over again. And ever so often, there needs to be a reset button that says, hey, let's keep the main thing the main thing. Hey, let's keep the main thing the main thing. Often when a basketball team struggles, or football team struggles, or a business team or a business struggles, it's because they've gotten away from what they call the fundamentals. They've gotten away from that which made them successful. Hey, this morning, I want to encourage you, do not get away from that which has made us successful. Not successful in the eyes of man. We're not trying to impress men. But the fact that there's been some success for the gospel. When I talk to you about the sin of silence, I'm talking this morning about where the gospel is being silent. There is no gospel without a go. And I know you say, well, you're talking Hiles Anderson. Everybody in here is a soul winner. I'll tell you that my experience begs to differ. Andrew Murray, the revivalist, said there are two classes of Christians. There are soul winners, and then there's backsliders. Let me say it again. He said there are two classes of soul winners. He said there are soul winners, And then there's backsliders. Hey, let me ask you, which one are you? Are you a soul winner or are you a backslider? I think we need to get back to emphasize the going gospel. I think we need to get back to emphasize that when Jesus says, I will be with you to the end of the earth, he meant that wherever you go, he's with you. I think so many times you got young people that are praying for boldness and power. Boldness and power doesn't come until you first go. You can pray all day for boldness and power, but it's not going to come until you go. I am so glad that soul winning, I believe in soul winning, and that's what I'm talking about, the sin of silence, because we're all guilty of it. We got so accustomed, we got our own little bubble, we got our own little clique. We're our fraternity and sorority of saved people. We sing the same songs, we talk about the same things, and we forget that there's a world outside these doors that is dying and going to hell. Don't ever forget that. Man, soul winning. You know why I believe in soul winning? Because it worked for me. It worked for me. Let me tell you, if you can sit there and you are not a soul winner, a hot, fired soul winner on a weekly basis, man, you've become really ungrateful. You never got unsaved, but you got ungrateful. My goal today, if I could plead with you, is to decide that you're going to be a fervent soul winner. See, there's two things that have happened. The Great Commission has become the Great Omission. The Great Commission has become the Great Omission. And I'll tell you in two areas that the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. Number one, we no longer pray for people to be saved. We don't pray people to an altar. We don't pray people on a bus. We don't pray people to salvation. We got mothers and fathers and grandparents and aunts and uncles, friends that are not saved. And we've brought in the omission of not praying. When's the last time you had a prayer meeting and the prayer meeting was to see a mother saved or a father saved or a bus rider saved? The Great Commission has become the Great Omission because we do not pray. And then it's become the Great Omission because we do not go. I want you to listen to me very carefully. The devil is very slick. He's very sly. He knows that he can't get you maybe with the wrong music or the wrong influences or lust or desires or material things, most of you. But he can get you comfortable. Let me say it again. He can get you comfortable. He can get you comfortable. We don't teach lifestyle evangelism here. We don't teach coffee cup conversion here. We teach old shoe leather, door to door, get in somebody's face and bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had Philip not opened his mouth, that eunuch would have never been saved. We have the Great Commission become the Great Omission because we don't pray, because we don't go. We get comfortable. We get comfortable. By the way, the devil wants us to go soul winning only on Saturday. Soul winning has become an event. By the way, you either go soul winning or you're a soul winner. There's a difference. There's a difference. So the devil says, hey, on Saturday, get all hyped up and go over there. But every person you see at the gas station or at the restaurant or the co-worker or the people that you pass by every day, they're not important. It's almost like they got COVID. You got to quarantine yourself from them because the only people that need to be saved are the ones that are in Chicago. You either go soul winning or you're a soul winner. A soul winner is overwhelmed with the souls of men. He is so conscious. Let me ask you, do you go soul winning or are you a soul winner? See, a soul winner goes out to obey a command. And somebody that just goes soul winning, he'll go to obey a rule. Which one are you? Somebody that's so conscious, he cannot wait to go out. Somebody who does it because it's required cannot wait to get back in. Somebody that is so conscious witnesses to everybody. Somebody who does it just because they have to, witnesses to people that are not a threat. You avoid the guy with the gauges. Avoid the people with the tattoos. Avoid the people with the radical t-shirts. Avoid the people that are a different color. Avoid the people that are a different race. Avoid the people that are a different religion because they're a threat to you. Somebody that's so conscious will go because he wants to see heaven get bigger. It's a big difference. Some of you wouldn't witness to the woman at the well. She's got a bad background. You wouldn't witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. His skin color's different. You wouldn't witness to the maniac of Gadara because he's crazy. The sin of silence. I know I'm preaching to young people that get excited. You go up on bus routes. Hey, listen, I ask young people every week, did you witness to somebody? Did you witness to somebody? Did you witness to somebody? And all, more than not, more than half the time, I get no, 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 no. Listen to me. I want to say something. Witnessing is up to you. Salvation is up to God. But if you won't witness, they will never be saved. If I ask you, did you witness to somebody? Brother, listen. And if you say no, you are not so conscious. Now, if I ask you, did anybody get saved? And you say no, man, that's on God. Witnessing is on you. Salvation is on God. The Great Commission has become the great omission because we don't pray, because we don't go. Because it's only something that we do once in a while. It's not something that consumes us. It is not something that overwhelms us. And then the Great Commission has been replaced by the Great Ambition. Men that can get a sales team together but can't get a soul winning team together. There, I said it. Let me say it again because I might be in an empty room and nobody's hearing me. Men that can get other men to be in a business and sell stuff, and you get people for the end of life, but you don't get people for eternity. Let me say it again. Men that can get a sales team together to sell stuff, but you can't get men together to build a church. Oh, hang on. Let me say it again. Men that can get a sales team so you could post how much money you made instead of how many souls you saw saved. It is no longer the Great Commission. It's become the great ambition for you to be successful and for you to be rich. And you're such a fool because you're missing out on greater riches. You're missing out on greater riches. Great ambition. Because, see, we want to bring people in and not make sure that they're saved. Congratulations, you're a bus driver. Congratulations, you work for the CTA. You do exactly what the city buses do. But boy, you're so conscious, and people get on that bus, and you realize you might be that person's one chance to be saved. You might be the only person that ever gets the gospel to those people. Man, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. The reach of this place. It's amazing, Brother John, you've traveled, I traveled. We all have stories about going places. I was in Houston. I was with the teens. We were going to Honduras on a missions trip. And we were running late. Our flight was, it was a horrible flight. We're late. We were going to miss the flight. And I got there, we were running. We had to run from domestic all the way to international. We weren't going to make it. United cab guy came over and picked us up, and my wife and I, and took us, and I could hear over the airport, Ricky Torres, we are waiting on United Airlines flight, blah, 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 to Tegucigalpa. And I'm thinking, wow, how do they know my name? Well, how do they know it's Ricky? It's Enrique, you know. Ricky is my white name. And Brother John, I got to the gate, and this lady came up, and she said, I knew there was only one Ricky Torres. Her name was Sonia Perez, grew up on Cicero, just right off Cicero on the north side, and she had moved to Houston. She worked for United Airlines. She held our flight. The young lady got saved because of somebody here. Boy, the other day I was doing a radio interview, and I was interviewing Brother Axel Moreno. He's one of our bus kids who's now a missionary in Brazil. And in the process of it, we started talking about another graduate, Victoria Robles. And man, lo and behold, I did not know, but Brother Victoria Robles was Brother Axel's Bible teacher in the Bible college in Mexico. And it kind of blew my mind. Two bus kids from First Baptist Church got together, wound up at a Bible college, and one's a teacher for the one that's a student, and both are missionaries. Boy, I hope you get rid of that ambition of overtime, the ambition of more money, the ambition of free time, the ambition of enjoying myself. Some of you got a ministry. It's an Instagram ministry. You look really good in pictures. You know, it's like that old saying, good from far, but far from good. That's some of you guys say, yeah, that's the girl I dated. No. I'm almost done. But the Great Commission is being replaced by the Great Omission, lack of prayer, lack of going out there and begging God to do something. It's being replaced because we've made soul winning an event, which is just done once a week or once a month instead of on a daily basis. And then it's replaced by the great ambition because we've forgotten what's most important. And it's not about trying to build a name or trying to build a career or trying to line my pockets more or trying to get a team. I challenge some of you men to why don't you build you a team and go build a church. Let me see some posts about here are my five guys. Praise the Lord. We're broke, but we're going soul winning. Amen. The great ambition because we are more concerned with image, more concerned about just trying to go out there and be an Instagram type of, saw somebody saved on the route today. And that's great, and that's awesome. I don't do Instagram because I'm too ugly, all right? And some of you need to take a hint. That filter ain't working, girl, okay? Here are my closing thoughts. Listen. Closing thoughts, let's bring the Great Commission back to what God intended it to be. Why do we call it great and treat it mediocre? Why do you call it the Great Commission and treat it mediocre? Here's my challenge. A week in your life will not go by where you don't witness to somebody. You ought to make that commitment. But most of you won't because that's hard. Here's my closing thoughts. Number one, you're never going to win anybody if you don't go. Number two, your job is to be the messenger. They can reject the messenger. It's not you they're rejecting. It's the message. Don't take it personal. And number two, you need to bring others on board for the Great Commission. The sin of silence. Are you guilty? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Are you guilty of the sin of silence? Can you make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to be an avid, fervent soul winner? Could you come to an altar and say, Lord, I make this promise to you that not a week will go by where I am not a bold witness. It's been replaced because of omission of prayer. It's been replaced because of ambition. Let's make the Great Commission great again.